29 in Revelation chapter 10. So in Psalm 29, you write down Revelation 10. In Revelation 10, write down Psalm 29. During the flood, King David wasn't there. But King David was moved by the Holy Spirit to write Psalm 29. Moses, could you read Psalm 29, verse 1 and 2, and then verse 10 to 11?
Ascribe to the Lord, Almighty One. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as King forever. The Lord gives strength to His people. The Lord blesses His people with peace.
Okay. In verse 1, who is the one worthy of our worship? The answer is the Lord. And who should worship the Lord? In here it says, Almighty Ones. Who are the mighty ones? God's children. We are the mighty ones. Especially when God gives you strength, when God gives you peace, you become the mighty one. When you become mighty, make sure you know that it is the Lord who gives you strength. Just like Paul saying in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Paul said, I can do all things who give me strength. If you can do all things, you are the mighty one. When you are able to do all things, make sure that you don't get the glory. You give glory to God. You give the strength and power back to God. Okay? In verse 1, who are the mighty one? Say God's children. God's children is the mighty one. Especially in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. And let me read that to you. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I read that to you in verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayer. I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know Him better. Verse 18. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength. In other words, if you are the one who believe in Jesus Christ, Paul prayed that His incomparably great power for us, that you know God had given you incomparably great power for you, as long as you believe in God. So that's why the psalmist King David, saying to his children, saying to God's children, O mighty one. Who are the mighty ones? He didn't say angel. Who are the mighty one? The one who believed in God. Okay? You write down right beside mighty one. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Paul praying that, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know him better. Okay? If we know that we are the mighty one, we have to be sure that you know that. Who give you strength? It is the Lord who give you strength. You write down right beside here, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, and Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do everything through him who gave me strength. God gave us strength. God gave us mighty power. And that's why God calls mighty one. Hannah, do you know that you are mighty one? What made you mighty? Because you are God's child. How can you be mighty? When you believe in God, in what form do you believe in God? In Romans chapter 10, verse 14. If you believe in God, what would you do? Romans 10, 14. What would you do when you believe in God?
Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do everything through him who gives me strength.
I can do everything through him who gives me strength. So you write that down right beside here. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Almighty One. You become mighty, right? Because if you can do everything through him who gives you strength. You can't do everything with your own strength. But you can do everything through him who gives you strength. And also you write down Ephesians chapter 1 verse 19. When you have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, when you have faith in God, believe in him, he gives you incomparably great power. Okay? The same kind of power God used to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. He could give you that kind of power. You know what? If you read the scripture and then you don't pray according to that, you still become weak. The reason why we are weak, because we don't read the scripture. Those who read the scripture and we still weak, how come Gabriel? Do you know what's the name of Gabriel? Mean angel?
Taking the Bible.
Yeah? But what does it mean by Gabriel? Gabriel means the mighty one of God. Okay? So Gabriel is the mighty one of God. So this particular song is for you too. Right? Ascribe to the Lord. Gabriel. Right? So when you have the power from God, when you have the strength from God, you should ascribe to the Lord. Okay? Give glory, give strength back to him. You write down in verse 1, Psalm 29 verse 1, you write down, who should ascribe to the Lord. In verse 2, in the second part of verse 1, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. What should I ascribe to the Lord? You write that. The first part of verse 1, who should ascribe to the Lord? Second part of verse 1, what should I ascribe to the Lord? Hannah?
Glory and strength.
Glory and strength. And verse 2, the first part. Why should I ascribe to the Lord? David? In verse 2, the first part of verse 2, why should I ascribe to the Lord? Do you know? You don't know. Bona, do you know? Because the glory due his name. He deserves it. He's worthy of it. Of his mighty name. Because of his name, especially when we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, oh, we find out we become strong through prayer, especially when we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in the first part of verse 2, why should we ascribe to the Lord? Because the glory fill his name, the strength fill his name. Okay? Now, the second part of verse 2. How shall I ascribe to the Lord? Daniel the senior?
Worship in his holiness. In the splendor of his holiness.
Worship in the splendor of his holiness. What does it mean? by worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. What does it mean by that? When we go to the Lord on Sunday, and we are holding a palm or BlackBerry or iPod, and we have all the cell phone and all this kind of stuff, are we worshiping the God with this kind of cell phone stuff? Moses? So how come you put this stuff on your ear? Take it off there. So you don't worship the Lord with that kind of stuff. You worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Did anyone know what he meant by in the splendor of His holiness? In other words, if I do not worship God in this way, I'm not worshiping God. You write down Psalm 29, verse 2. You write down Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 24. The Bible says God is spirit, and His worshiper must worship Him in spirit and in truth. If I'm coming to a church, if I'm not worshiping the Lord in spirit, and if I'm not worshiping the Lord in truth, you haven't worshiped God. You think you go to the church every Sunday, you worship God? You haven't worshiped God. Daniel the Junior, could you read that Psalm, John chapter 4, verse 24?
God is spirit, and His worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth.
We must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That is in the splendor of His holiness. In the splendor of His holiness. Is God's word is a holy scripture? Moses? Is God true is a holy scripture? Holy scripture? Holy writing? Is God's spirit is Holy Spirit? So if we worship God the Father in spirit and in truth, we are worshiping Him in the splendor of His holiness. You worship God in any other way, your life will not be changed. If you worship God in spirit and in truth, your life will be changed. He changed your life, and you'll be a different person. They, in verse 23, they are the kind of worshiper God the Father seeks. God wants this kind of people to worship Him. Any other way, we are not worshiping. Okay? Now what did I say in verse 1, the first part? What did I ask you to write it down? Say it again, loudly. Who should ascribe to the Lord? What's the answer? Those who believe in God is the one who pray to God and ask God for power. I show you how to pray. if you understand Psalm 29 verse 1, if God called you the Mighty One, and when you feel that you are weak, when you feel that you are powerless, then you say, God, isn't it you call your children Mighty One? And I'm weak. I ask that you give me strength, so that I can ascribe to you. Does that make sense? Hannah, tell me how to pray according to verse 1. When you are weak.
If you're feeling weak, then you ask, or you tell God that you're feeling weak. But in Psalm 29:1, He called us mighty ones, and to ask Him to make me mighty rather than to pray.
If you call me mighty one, not just in the name itself, in reality I'm strong, but I'm weak now, please give me strength. With this kind of Bible verses in your mind, when you pray, do you think that God will deny your prayer? Will He answer your prayer? You're going to keep on praying to Him until indeed you become the Mighty One. Then your life will be changed. Once you receive power and strength from God, then you ascribe to Him. Okay? Give the glory and honor back to Him. Thank you, Lord, for answering my prayer, and give me strength. You got that? Who should ascribe to the Lord? The answer is, Donald?
Mighty ones of God.
Who are the mighty ones of God? You just believe? What else do you have to do? Pray. Write that down in the Bible. After you go home, you forget it. Okay? Then you have a question? What's the second part of verse 1? Daniel the senior, what did you write down?
I wrote down Ephesians 1:19 and Philippians 4:13.
No, that is the right beside the first part of 91, I'm saying. who get the answer? You get the answer? What's the answer? No, I'm not asking what kind of Bible verse is related to that. I'm asking you. The first part of verse 1, Psalm 29, you write down, who should ascribe to the Lord? And the second part of verse 1, not why, you know, you don't write that down. Who say why?
What?
What should we ascribe to the Lord? The first part, 1A, is who? 1B, is what? 2A, why? Why should we ascribe to the Lord? Because the glory due His name. He's worthy of the glory and strength. And then 2B, how? You got that? Did everybody get it? I'm doing this is to help you how to interpret the Bible. You understand? So when you're at home, you learn from this, then you know how to read the scripture, then you know how to get strength from it, how to understand it, how to use it as your prayer item, okay? So that you know how to pray. You understand? How should we ascribe to the Lord? Not just with word. Sometimes people say, I worship God by coming to a church to hear His word. I worship God and sing a few songs. No, the psalmist in here, the King David saying, I ascribe to the Lord by worshiping Him. How do I worship Him? The second part of verse 2, you write down, John chapter 4:24. I worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. I worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. I need the Holy Spirit to help me, so that I know how to worship God. I need the tool to tell me how to worship God in such a way that pleasing Him, so that my life be changed. They are the kind of worshiper God the Father seeks. Now let's talk about Psalm 29:10. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. I want you to write it down also. The Lord sits enthroned over the 7 years of tribulation. I pray that none of us will be around during the 7 years of tribulation. And just in case you did not believe in Jesus Christ, the Lord will put you in the 7 years of tribulation. When you are in the 7 year of tribulation, you're under all kind of suffering and persecution and affliction. Remember one thing. The Lord sits enthroned over the 7 year of tribulation. Now that we have a financial tsunami, a lot of people get laid off, a lot of people unemployed, right? Remember one thing. The Lord sits enthroned over financial tsunami. Doesn't matter what kind of difficult situation you are in, the Lord always sits enthroned over your problem. You got that? What have you learned, Hannah? If you are in big trouble, once you graduate, then you have no job. The economy is really bad. But you know the Psalm 29 verse 10. What would you do?
That the Lord sits enthroned over all my problems, so that I would pray to Him.
You pray to Him. What do you pray?
That He would make me mighty, like He said He would in Psalm 29:1.
Okay. And what else? Now the economy is no good.
That I would get a job.
You would get a job. I just said to you, the economy is really bad. If God is mightier than this kind of situation, He sits enthroned over your problem. Then you don't look at the problem. You look at who is sitting enthroned. Who is in charge? Who is in charge? The one who called you mighty is in charge. The one who loved you is in charge. The one who answered your prayers is in charge. You got that? Do you got that?
Yes.
Did you learn anything today?
Yes.
If you don't study this scripture, how can you be mighty one? If the economy is no good, then you become weak. Right? You see all people around you get laid off, then you become trembling. What should you do? You know, God sits enthroned over all kind of situation. All you need to do is believe in what He's saying to you and pray accordingly to His promise. Do you get it? He not only sits enthroned over the flood in Noah time, He's going to sit enthroned over the 7 years tribulation in the future. If He sits enthroned in the past, if He sits enthroned in the future, will He not sit enthroned right now? I know that He will sit enthroned right now too. Because the Lord is enthroned as King forever. In the past, now, and future. You got that? You write that down? You write that down. Okay? In the past, in the present, and in the future. That's what he mean by forever. In those days, In Abraham's time, Abraham faced famine. The Lord is enthroned over that situation in Abraham's time. In Isaac's time, Isaac faced the same kind of famine. And the Lord blessed him too. In Jacob's time, same thing. In our time, will he do the same thing? As long as you pray to him. You got that? Do you get it? Is this a good Bible verses? Let us read it together. 29:10. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. In other words, from the ancient time to eternity, our Lord in heaven, our Heavenly Father, always in control. He's always in control. He always sits enthroned as king. You know what? I've never seen in the Bible that God leaves his throne. Okay? That means he is in control all the time. Can you imagine? Nothing stir him to stand up. The only one situation that I see Jesus Christ stand up, when he see his servant, Stephen, martyr, being stoned to death. So Jesus Christ supposed to be seated on the right side of our Heavenly Father, and Jesus Christ stand up to receive his servant, Stephen. Okay? Jesus Christ supposed to be seated enthroned with our Heavenly Father in heaven. Because our Heavenly Father loved us, so he sent his Son to come down, leave the throne, and come down to deliver us and save us. And then after he finished his task, according to Psalm 110, verse 1, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my throne until I make your enemy a footstool. When our God in heaven enthrones, is enthroned all the time, sit enthroned over all kind of situation, then from his throne, the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. If you know that your father is in control all the time, he gets money to put food on the table, doesn't matter what happened outside. We know that there's always food on the table. We know that our Heavenly Father is always in control, doesn't matter what happened to us. As long as we seek refuge to him, seek his help, pray to him, you can overcome all kind of situation. And that's why he call us what? Mighty One. Oh. Daniel, are you the mighty one? Then you shouldn't say to me, I'm weak, I'm tired. You say you're weak, you're tired because you don't pray. When you pray, you don't pray according to God's word. Did I meet your need today? Who are you, Daniel? What do you mean? Now you listen to what this guy is saying. Who are you, Daniel? A mighty one. Now what's the answer? Who are you?
Mighty one.
Right? How can you be mighty one?
Pray to God.
Pray to God. If you don't pray to God, you are weak. You got that? Did the Lord want us to pray to him? Psalm 65 verse 2. O you who hear prayer, to you all people should come. God is the one who hear prayer. God is the one who answer prayer. So that's why every one of us should approach God with confidence. You got that? Could you read it? Psalm 65, 2.
O you who hear prayer, to you all men will come.
When we come to Him and pray to Him and He answers your prayer, will you still be weak?
No.
What's the reason why you're weak?
God, no, because we don't pray.
So who are you?
Mighty One.
Wow, you don't sound so like you're Mighty One. Moses, who are you?
I'm a shy, mighty one.
Where does it say? Explain to me, okay? Now you get yourself into trouble. Sorry. Okay, you explain to me, okay? Now, I don't get that, okay? You explain to me. Well, what do you mean by you're a shy, mighty one? If you're mighty, you don't need to be shy. When you're mighty, you need to be humble.
I don't pray as much as I could, so I'm not as mighty as I could be.
Then you're weak then. Then you're not shy, mighty one. Okay? The mighty one is the one supposed to be humble. If you're a mighty one and you're humble, and God give you more strength and give you more honor and glory. You got that? When you become mighty, then you humble yourself. Okay? Humility comes before honor. How do we humble ourselves? Ascribe to the Lord Almighty One. Ascribe to the Lord the glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory, the only glory, due His name. All the glory, due His name. He's worthy of that. Because when we pray to God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, He answers our prayer, we give glory to His name. Does that make sense? And how do we glorify Him? We worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. We worship the Almighty One. You don't call yourself Almighty, okay? Almighty, that name belongs to who? To God. You are just the Mighty One. You are not Almighty. You got that? So the Mighty One should ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. And we worship the Mighty One. We worship the Mighty One in the splendor of His holiness. We need His Holy Spirit to help us how to worship God. We need His truth to reveal to us what pleases Him the way that we worship Him. You got that? You don't worship Him the way that you like. You don't say with an attitude, take it or leave it, you don't like it, too bad. You want me to worship you in what way? Last week. What's the best way to worship the Lord? In where?
In Romans 12, verse 22.
Very good boy. So that's why I pray. I pray. You know what, last Sunday? I said to Daniel, I pray that you be a senior pastor of Apostolic Bible Church. And then I pray that my daughter will be the assistant pastor. You know what he said? He said, wow, by that time, your daughter will be an old lady. My daughter is only 10 years older than you, then you call her old lady. That really upset me, you know? Then I'll be even old man there. Right? What is the best way to worship the Lord according to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2? To offer yourself as a living sacrifice. This is a reasonable form of worship. This is a spiritual act of worship. This is a reasonable act of worship, right? So worship the Lord in truth and in spirit means we need the Holy Spirit to encourage us to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to the Lord. That is what King David is saying. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Because by doing so, it is holy, it is pleasing to God, right? It is holy to God, right? It's pleasing to God. So that is how we worship God in the splendor of His holiness. You got that? When you worship God this way, then the Lord, in Psalm 29 verse 11, the Lord will give you strength. On top of that, He bless you with peace. He bless you with peace, not people, okay? You got that? Let's see. What should we give to God? Last Tuesday, our living sacrifice, our body, right? Now in here, what should we give to God? What?
Prayer.
We give prayer to God? No. What should we give to God? What should we ascribe to the Lord?
Glory.
Glory? That's all? One B. What should we ascribe to the Lord? Glory and strength. And what did He give it to you? Hannah?
What He gives to you?
Yeah.
He gives you mightiness.
Okay, give you mightiness. What else He give it to you? What make you mighty? What did He give it to you so that you become mighty? Bona? Strength and peace. When you have God's strength, when you have God's peace, indeed, you are the mighty one. What should we give it to the Lord? Two things. According to this lesson, glory and strength. And what did the Lord give it to us, Moses?
Strength and peace.
You write down Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to man on whom His favor rests. According to Luke chapter 2 verse 14, what do we give to the God the highest? God in the highest? Glory. Glory to God in the highest. What did God give it to us? Peace. On earth, peace to man, on whom His favor rests. So the Old Testament teaching is in conformity with the New Testament teaching. Right? We give glory and strength to God because He gave us strength and peace. We are the mighty one, and His favor and His beauty rest upon us. According to Psalm 90, verse 17. May the beauty, may the favor of the Lord rest upon you. When the favor and the beauty of the Lord rest upon you, for sure you will have peace in your mind and in your heart. Daniel, could you read it to me? Psalm 90, verse 17.
May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands.
When the beauty, when the favor of the Lord God rests upon you, for sure you will have peace and strength. Am I right? What? What's the question? David, you have a question? Any question? Do you know who are the mighty one?
All of us.
All of us? Are you kidding? Who said that you're all of us are mighty one? Who are you? Wow. That's really good. Are you a Christian? It's the first time I've seen you. It's the first time you come. Could you tell me your name? Andrew. Which church did you attend?
South
Edmonton Alliance Church. Before you come here, do you know that you are a mighty one? You don't know. You have a question? Andrew, is the one sit beside you your girlfriend or your sister? Your sister. What's your name?
Lily.
Are you the mighty one? If I pray, I am, see? Wow! Moses! You got to learn from that! That's why the kingdom of God belongs to the children! She didn't wear anything in their ear! Oh, man! Man! You should worship God in the splendor of His holiness! You should worship God with offering your body to the Lord as a living sacrifice. You should worship the Lord in truth and in spirit. You got that? Wow, I'm very happy to you. What's your last name? You said Yanji? Wow, Zhang. I'm happy you come. You will come next week? You hope so. Let's say together, we are the mighty one because we belong to Jesus Christ. Because we believe in Him, we pray according to His word. Whenever we are in trouble, I know my Heavenly Father, the Lord, sit and throne over all kind of difficulty, all kind of situation. No matter the situation, how bad it is, I know my Heavenly Father sit enthroned as King forever. You got that? In Abraham's time, how the Lord bless him. In our time, the Lord will bless us if we pray. In our children's time, when our children in trouble, as long as we teach them to pray, they become a mighty one too. When God gives you strength and peace, that's why you become mighty one. When you become mighty, you got to humble yourself, ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord, Almighty One. Make sure you remember that. And how do we ascribe to the Lord? Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. In truth and in spirit. By offering your body as a living sacrifice. Any problem?
Shall we pray? Our timing is pretty good, eh?
Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks, for you are great God. God is spirit, and His worshiper must worship in spirit and in truth. Help us to remember your word. Help us to worship you in the splendor of your holiness, for you are holy God. And we know that you are in control of our lives, of all kinds of situations. On top of that, you give us strength when we are weak, as long as we pray to you, and you bless your people with peace, as long as we get close to you. But in this world, we will have trouble. But in you, we will have peace. As long as we get close to you and pray to you according to your word. Thank you for making a weak person like us become the mighty one. Because you are almighty. You are everlasting Father. You are almighty God. And you are Prince of Peace. And that's why you want to give us peace from now until eternity. We give you thanks for who you are and what you have done in our life. Thank you for being our wonderful counselor. Through your word, we get to know you. And through your word, we know how to pray. And through your word, we realize we are the mighty one. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.